Good morning.
Good morning.
Another full house. Amen. All right. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you for the life that you breathed into us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit be here amongst us, Father God, and may you speak to us through your words, through this sermon. We want you to teach us, Lord, that you may hear, that we may hear your voice. We just ask for your Holy Spirit amongst us right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Welcome to Amazing Grace. My sermon today is Faithful Servants. We're going to talk about faithful servants. Amen. This morning I'd like to speak to you about the Apostle Paul and a couple of very important members of his mission crew. The first one, Timothy. Paul was once in the city of Lystra, where he met Timothy, his mother, and his grandmother. And he was impressed with Timothy's passion for Jesus. Amen? So Paul started mentoring Timothy for many years, and eventually he started sending Timothy on missions. The first one he sent him to was, he sent him on a mission to Ephesus, and in order to restore the church. The church was in disarray, and then he sent him on many other missions. But in today's text, we're going to pick up where Paul is imprisoned again. I think he's been to jail more times than Pastor Perry. He's a jail minister, so. Not real jail, just yet. For those of you who don't know Pastor Perry, let me clarify. So Paul's in jail again, and he's writing a letter to the Philippians from his Roman house arrest, okay? And as he awaits to go to court before Caesar. So the letter starts, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not for the interest of Jesus Christ. So, he's saying, I hope in the Lord Jesus. So this is showing that Paul had a heart and a reliance on the Lord. It also showed that whatever plans or whatever timing Paul had, it was all subject to the Lord's will and the Lord's directives in his life. So he had all faith in Jesus Christ, amen, or in the Lord. So, he wanted to see Timothy among the Philippians. He wanted to see Timothy go back. So, he recognized that it would happen in God's way and in God's timing, not his way. So, isn't this the same with all of us? If we're going to rely on the Lord and turn our lives and our wills over, we need to be obedient to God's way, and we need to be patient in his timing as well. Amen? Paul had complete obedience to God, and his language told a lot about how he really felt in his heart. And Jesus is the one who taught us to be obedient in this way. Remember when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, "Not what I will, but what you will, Father." Amen? What a great example of how we submit our lives in obedience to Christ in everything we do. It can be very difficult at times, but we must pray often, and we always got to trust in God's will and God's timing. Amen? Next, he said, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. So, Paul didn't expect problems to come from the Philippians. They were not one of his problem churches, like Corinth. He expected that he would be encouraged when he received the news about how well they were doing in Philippi. And so, what about the state of our evangelical churches here today? What kind of letter or email would Paul send to us today? You know, what kind of letter would he write to Amazing Grace? Right? Hopefully a good one. Hopefully. Next he says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. So, when Paul sent Timothy, he sent his best man. Amen? A man who showed a pastor's heart and had great concern for the sheep rather than for himself. Amen? Just like our pastor's here. Amen? Paul realized how rare this kind of heart for others was, and because he realized that, and we all know, you know, most times most people look out for their own interest. They're not looking out for the interest of others or the interest of Jesus Christ, but for themselves. I have a story I want to tell you. There was once a talented young man, okay, in the Midwest. This is a long time ago. There were terrible fires in Yellowstone National Park burning thousands of acres, and this young man was gifted with the camera, and he could capture the heart of the crisis on film. So a well-known national magazine hired the young man to take pictures of this disaster and to cover the story. Well, the young man packed his bags, he packed his cameras and his film, and he left on assignment to film the fires at Yellowstone. The national magazine asked him to capture and show the heroic measures of the thousands of firefighters that were fighting the fight. When the young man arrived, he ran into a problem that he had not anticipated. He realized that the smoke was so dark and so thick that he wasn't going to be able to take any pictures at all. So the young man called the magazine office and asked if he could have permission to charter a small plane that would take pictures from overhead. Mm-hmm. So the magazine made arrangements at the local airport, and they called him, and the call returned him that a small plane was waiting for him at the airport so he could go take the pictures. So he jumped into his rental car and he rushed to the airport. And there was a real young man sitting in a small engine aircraft on the runway. And as instructed, the plane was fueled and warmed and ready for takeoff. So the young photographer got his camera, he got all his gear, he threw it all in the back seat of the plane, he closed the door and he said, "Ready for takeoff. Let's go." So the young man proceeded down the runway, and the plane was shaking and very rough. And when he got in the air, the pilot asked, "How was that?" The pilot asked the photographer, "How was that?" And the pilot seemed very nervous as the little plane lifted higher and higher into the wind, right? So the young, talented photographer had not experienced such a jerky flight before. So he requested the pilot to fly over the park, and the photographer asked the pilot to fly real low near the fire so he could get a good picture. And the pilot said, "Why?" And the photographer said, "Because I'm on assignment and I'm a photographer, and photographers need to be close to the action to take photographs." And the pilot was very quiet for a few minutes, and he broke silence saying, "I thought you were the instructor." So, big trouble, huh? I hope he can fly. Or at least a little bit. So you see, we got to be careful about who we let take the controls in our life. We have to be careful about who we let lead our missions, and who we let help lead others to Christ. We must be aware of false doctrine, wolves in sheep's clothing. As pastors and ministry leaders in the church, we must protect the flock at all costs. If Timothy and Epaphroditus got sent to our church to solve problems, how do you think we could use them best in our church to help us to do what the Lord wants us to do? Next, Paul wrote, "I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon." So here it seems Paul was being careful. He didn't want them thinking that he didn't want to come see them, that he was sending Timothy in his place, but he's letting them know, you know, that he wanted to come. He was just a little preoccupied at the time, right? Couldn't quite get out of the house, so you could say. So he wanted to send Paul, or he wanted to send Timothy, his servant. So, and Timothy knows that a true servant's reward is to serve more. So Timothy's all about it, right? He wants to serve. That's why he's with Paul. Amen? So we have many examples of that kind of heart for service here at Amazing Grace. We have people in our jail ministry, the halfway house, all of our ministries. Amazing. Celebrate Recovery. You know, we have so many people that give their time and their talents to the church. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're called to serve. The Lord calls us to serve. And the more we serve, the more we want to serve. Amen? Amen, brother. So I was just sharing the other night in small group, and I won't say any names, so it's okay. And it was what I said, not anybody else. Okay. So anyways, I was sharing in small group that, and I was telling the guys, you know, I gave my testimony on Thursday night at North Phoenix Baptist Church. And afterwards, there was a group of about 30 men, and I was sharing, and I told them at the end, I said, you know, if you want to stay strong in your recovery, and you want to stay strong in your faith, serve, serve, serve. Serve the Lord, serve in every way you can. Serve in your ministry, serve the Lord, serve in your family, serve in the community. That's how we stay on track, amen? Servant's heart, amen, brother. So, next Paul writes, but I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, right? Epaphroditus? My brother, my co-worker, and my fellow soldier, who was also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs to be with all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. So, this surely meant that Epaphroditus delivered this letter. We know Epaphroditus delivered this letter to the Philippians. Amen? Now he says, my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. Paul gave these important titles to Epaphroditus because he was a man Paul valued as a partner, his partner, in work for the ministry. And so first he calls him brother. And that speaks of a relationship that he enjoyed as his brother, right? And that's what we as men of Christ call each other, and especially in our ministry we call each other brother, right? Forever family, and the men call each other brothers. So, and then he calls him a worker. Calling him a worker, he's speaking of someone who gets things done and doesn't complain, and he's not afraid to go on missions for Christ. He's a worker, amen? And then lastly, he calls him a soldier. And this speaks that there's a battle to be fought, a spiritual battle, amen? And in this crazy world that's got everyone at odds against each other in America, when we should be loving one another, one nation under God, and getting back to a prosperous and powerful nation of unity and faith, amen? We need to band together, and we need to do it for Christ. Then he says, your messenger who sent you to take care of my needs. So this meant that Epaphroditus brought a gift of financial support. Next slide. From the Philippians to Paul. Okay, and where's your laser pointer at, Pastor? This sacrifice, I know, right, was not only monetary, but it was about 1,000 miles.
You have to be prepared.
Sorry, I'm in training. So it was about 1,000 miles, okay? And in order to get from here to here, they did it by ship, okay? So they would come all the way down this way, and all the way around this way, and up here, okay? And then they would travel by whatever land they had to travel to get from there to there. But, so it was a long, huh? It was either that or walk or ride a camel across here. Right. Thank you, Pastor. So it was about 1,000 miles from Philippi to Rome, okay? So it was a long, dangerous trip, but Epaphroditus had opened his heart to the need of his spiritual father and the founder of the Philippian church. So he was on a mission, like we say, being on a mission, right? He was on a real mission. And he would leave his friends and his family behind, and knew that his sacrifice for the church was God's will for his life, and that's what he did. Amen. So, what have you sacrificed for the church? What do we sacrifice for the church? Are we traveling 1,000 miles for the church? And by the church, I don't mean this church. I mean the church of Christ. I mean the body of Christ. Amen. Think about that. Next he says, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. So Epaphroditus wanted to go back home because he learned that the Philippians had heard that he was sick. Next slide. I think I got the slides mixed up. Anyway, that's good. Leave it there. Learned that he was sick and they were worried about him. So once again, he had a servant's heart and he was more worried about others than about himself. Okay? Epaphroditus was more worried about the Philippians than he was about himself. So he just wanted to go home. He knew that his mission was completed and he was recovered. So Charles Spurgeon writes, there you go, "It is God that writes intercession upon men's hearts. All true prayer comes from Him, but especially the least selfish and most Christ-like form of prayer, which is called intercession. When the suppliant forgets about himself and his own needs, in all his pleading, his tears and his arguments are on behalf of others." So I talked about intercessory prayers in my last sermon, and they can be so powerful. Amen? Intercessory prayers is when we're praying for other people, okay? So, I mean, just look at the miracle of our sister Kathy, who has been diagnosed who got the results that she is 100% cancer-free. Thanks be to God. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Talk about intercessory prayer, right? When you have this whole church and our many prayer chains lifting you up, you got a good chance you're going to be 100% free as well. Amen? How many have been healed from cancer in this church? How many have been healed from different diseases in this church? Amen? So many. Such a miracle. Such a miracle. God is so good. And addictions. Amen? And some both. Amen? What's that? How many have come to Christ? And how many have come to Christ because of healing? Amen? I pray about that all the time. I said, Lord, answer my prayers, and I pray that this person turns to you and gives their will and their life over to you because of the healing. Amen? Amen. Galatians 6:10 says, So then, when we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are the household of faith. So we're not only talking about praying for each other, but we're talking about doing for each other. Doing for our forever family. Doing for others who are lost. Doing for others. You know, families that are in need, in crisis, people who are struggling with addictions, people coming out of the jails. That's what kind of church we're called to be. Amen? In order to live for Christ, we must have a servant's heart. The Lord came to serve. We're supposed to serve too. Amen? What charities or organizations are you supporting? Or are you serving in? Amen? Next he says, "Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow." The sickness of Epaphroditus was no small thing. It almost killed him. He almost died. But God had mercy on him, and he recovered. You see, God's mercy to Epaphroditus was also mercy to Paul. If Epaphroditus had died, Paul would have had sorrow upon sorrow. He's already in jail, right? And he's going to have sorrow upon sorrow because he had traveled all that distance and risked his life just to help Paul, to bring supplies and to minister to him while he was in prison. You got a picture? There he is in prison. I don't know why they let him have a sword, but but there he is studying in prison. Amen? I guess he had privileges, right? Amen? That's house arrest. Amen. So God was merciful. He was merciful so that Epaphroditus could make his trip home. Now let's look at how Paul ends this letter. He says, "Therefore I am all the more eager to send him to you, to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him." And that is why we're talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus still today. Because Paul said to honor such men. Honor such men. Because these men should be honored for their faith, for their character, and for their heart for the Lord. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, he risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me. That's what he's telling. That's what he's telling the Philippians, right? Do you know why he almost died for the work of the cross? Do you know why Epaphroditus would go so far as to almost die for the work of the cross? Because it wasn't his life. It didn't belong to him. His life had been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now he belonged to the Lord. Now when you understand what it means to belong to the Lord, you realize this isn't my life. This is not my money. That's not my car. The Lord gives us stewardship of these things in life, but ultimately they all belong to Him. Everything belongs to the Lord. Amen? And He can do whatever He wants to do with it. It's all His will. God has given us many gifts, many talents, many resources, and a physical body with life in it. And He's waiting for us, for all of us, to lay it down at His feet. Instead of using it for our own sinful, selfish purposes, because inherently we're all born with a sinful nature. Amen? But we're called to give our life to the Lord and to worship Him. We are called to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our spiritual act of worship. Now, what is your spiritual act of worship? It's dying to self and living for Christ. That's your spiritual act of worship. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." So take up your cross. Live your lives for Christ. And believe me, God will reward you for it. If not in this life, in eternity. May you all be blessed to be a blessing, and God's peace be with you. Amen? Thank you.